When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was beside the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. A woman was... can't see the word on my screen. Who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realised that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the home of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why is all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but just asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother, and the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. He held her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
Now, any real estate agent people here? Nope. Now, when you buy properties, there's a lot of Chinese here, although they are the young ones. What are the three important factors that you look into when you buy properties? Come on, make a guess. Huh? Very good. He's a Chinese. Location, location, and location. Now, what about when I was at mall, the teacher tell us that when you preach, what are the three points that is factors that are important for delivering a sermon? Now, I haven't preached in English for a long time, only at the 8 o'clock service. Hope you can understand my English. Right? Now, what are the factors, three factors, when you preach? Huh? Audience. But what? Not really. Not really. You might as well bash them, you know. No? 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 Why would you listen to a preacher? Why would you listen to him? Why would you listen to him? What makes it so attractive, besides being pretty like me, you know? Right? At least I'm prettier than Bart. I haven't seen him then. Yeah. I mean, you all have experience. Listen to your sermon. What makes it tick?
You want to hear about Jesus.
Huh?
You want to hear about Jesus.
Hear about Jesus, yes. Sorry. It's important to talk about Jesus. Yeah, very important. But that's not what more college told me. Huh? Very good. Relevance, and relevance. It has to be relevant to me. Now, you call that relevance. I could say that applicational. So it's important what I share with you today. You have to apply it. Okay? You can have a lot of head knowledge. If if the Bible wasn't personal to you, isn't personal, you're going to be dead. Right? Understand what I'm saying? I like to say this, ming ming ah. That's terrible, you know. Actually, it's terrible. Okay, let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you that I can come and share with this lovely congregation. Be with me. May your Spirit convict them of the importance of your word. And may you guide us. And may our lives be transformed through your word. May you have mercy on your servant. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't forget that I'm going to ask you, what are the points that I've shared, right? I'm very serious. You're not going to go home for lunch unless you tell me at the door the three points. Naomi, she's very smart. Church wardens are always smart. She's taking notes. Now. Matthew 9:18-26. Now, that was the supposed to be the gospel reading. But I also wanted you to learn about Mark. I like the version in Mark. Now, reports how Jesus raised from death the daughter of a ruler in Israel. Matthew tells the story in passing, not even bordering to include the ruler's name. Okay? From the corresponding reports in Mark chapter 5, which Naomi read out, and Luke chapter 8, we know the man's name to be Jairus. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Jairus, right? Am I right? Am I correct? Now, here's what we know about Jairus. His name, Jairus, is from the Greek word. Any Greek here? Greek Orthodox? Nope. I've left my Greek behind. Which means he enlightens, or in the Hebrew context, whom Jehovah enlightens. God has pleasure in him. He lived somewhere in the region of Galilee, probably within a day's walk of Jesus' home base in Capernaum. Now, though he was a leader in the synagogue, he was probably not a rabbi. Most likely he was an elder, which was a layman responsible for the administration of the synagogue. I'm not going too fast, am I? Too slow. Now, this would have given him significant authority over things like selecting who could teach, deciding what will occur during worship services, maintaining synagogue buildings, and overseeing community affairs. Probably a bit like a church warden, okay? Now, as such, he would have been a very influential man in Galilee because Jewish culture revolved around the leadership of local elders. Now, some historians have suggested that Jairus was actually the head elder or the head of the local Sanhedrin or court of elders in his community. Now, in this role, he would have carried religious, political, and judicial power. Now, it's assumed by his position as an elder and by the crowd of mourners that gather outside the house. Now, in Matthew 9, they say that, that was Matthew 9:23-25, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and people playing pipes, he said, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread through all that region. Okay? As a crowd of mourners, they probably are hired. Okay? Now, that from that, you will know that Jairus was a wealthy man and well-known in his community. He clearly loved his daughter very much. Instead of sending a servant to call for Jesus, he came himself, asking for a miracle on behalf of his beloved daughter. He was both powerful and humble. As a ruler in his community, he could have come to Jesus and demanded a miracle, just like Herod in Luke 23:8-9. Or he could have approached Jesus as an equal, making a formal request. But he didn't do either of these things. Matthew says he knelt down humbly before Jesus. Mark and Luke reveal that in kneeling, he fell at his feet. That is, he groveled like a slave before Christ and begged for a miracle. Matthew did not mention the following action of Jesus in Mark chapter 5:35-36. Now, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Now, what would happen if someone told you that your daughter was dead? Most Chinese would burst into tears, burst into emotions. Some old ladies would have fainted, right? It wasn't easy. You would have probably said that, you know, the same thing. Jesus, don't bother coming. Once that person doesn't breathe, the Chinese felt their pulse, right? Or the doctor said that, look at his eyes or something, look at the pupil, okay? Now, but Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't be afraid, just believe. This is something we all have to say to ourselves when storm arises in our life. Is that right? He did not let anyone, Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When he came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Now, obviously from the passage, we know that Jairus believed in Jesus. He allowed Jesus to go with him to his home, even though his servant told him that his daughter had died. Now, Jairus believed in Jesus. His faith drove him to hope in Christ in the first place. When servants told him that his daughter had died, he continued to trust that Jesus could somehow overcome even that final circumstances. His faith was not in vain. Now, I preached that at the 8 o'clock. An elderly man came and told me that not all were healed. I totally agree with him. But in this case, Jesus felt that it was good for Jairus, okay? But after all, we all died. Right? We all died. The most important thing is that you have eternal life. Even though God might heal you, but you may have the disease again. Okay? I told you about the services that we have, and afterwards we have dinner at St. Andrew's Cathedral, up at Mary Andrews College, and all the ex-archbishop were there, the living ones, sorry. Okay? Now, I'm sure the spirit are there. I saw Bishop Reed photo. I recognize him. Is that right? Bishop Reed in that picture? Probably you don't know him. Yeah, he was my bishop when I was at, I can't remember when I was at Cabramatta or somewhere. Archbishop Goodhill is a lovely bishop. He appointed me to be the evangelist for the Chinese. I was looking for him. Well, I was looking for him, hoping that I'll find him, but actually he turned out to be all bald, without hair. He spoke excellently. He's 88. They interviewed me after the dinner, okay? Knowing that because I work in China, I may not want to speak publicly at St. Andrew's Cathedral. And I said, after hearing his excellent speech, I will work for another 30 years. I'm 68 now. In September, I'll be 68. Well, you think I've kept well? Yes. Not bad. Special cream. Okay, anti-wrinkle cream. Okay, now, what happened is that, what is faith, actually? Okay, what is faith? Now, I talk about his faith drove him to hope in Christ in the first place. What is faith? I think Hebrews 11 has a very good passage. Is that right? Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. If you can see it, that's not faith. Is that correct? Do you believe I'm a millionaire? Come on, do you believe? Most people will say, show me your money. That's not belief. Is that right? Is that right? Am I correct? Now, the Bible says that it's confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That is what the ancients would command for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. We're going to sing that song later on. Right? Song leader. Where's the song leader? That's Gordon, right? No coincidence. We did not talk about it. Every time, the songs just came up at the right time, the right songs, right? And by faith, verse 4, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel still speak, even though he's dead. Now, who else was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? Don't open your Bible. This is a quiz. Who else were mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11? Come on.
Abraham.
Very good. Who's that? Very good. Give her a clap, can you? Come on. Who else? Abraham. Who else? I have to look at my Bible to check. Yeah. Who else besides Abraham? Abraham, by faith, what did he do? He went to a place that he didn't even know where. He just obeyed God. And by faith, he offered up who? Isaac, right? What else? Who else were mentioned? Sorry? Who?
Noah.
Noah, yes? Can you give him a clap? Come on! The Chinese are too humble. They will say that they know it, but they don't want to say it. Okay, who else? Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God. Okay, who else? Enoch, I have to check, you know. I'm not that good, I have to check the box. I guess so. Yeah. Verse 5, very good. Oh, you were looking at the Bible. You know, Chinese are very good at cheating, you know. I'm sorry. Did I say that you are not supposed to open the book? Huh? You didn't. But you checked verse 5. I didn't say. You should know. Sorry, ma'am, but I'm only joking. Now, can I finish a sentence which is very important? I want to say some of this. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Wow. We don't know their names. Okay? 蒙名英雄. They were heroes without names. Heroes of faith. Okay? That wasn't easy at all. Now, all of a sudden, a woman came along. A broken woman who was looking for what? Healing. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She said to herself. This was said by a broken woman who was looking for healing, bleeding for 12 years. She was considered an outcast. Okay? Due to her condition, she was not allowed into the temple. She was unclean, nor was she allowed to touch other persons. If you have been touched by her, you would be unclean. Now you have to go and offer sacrifices at the temple, and the priest would have to declare you clean. Is that right? Now, the doctors offered no help, but Jesus had come to town. She believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. She did touch Jesus that day, and he touched her as well. He touched her more deeply than she had ever imagined. The scripture records, immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. That's what the Bible says. She reached out to Jesus in faith, and she was rewarded with a divine release of power from the Son of God into her life. Her blood had been flowing out for 12 years. Blood is a symbol of life in the scripture. It was as if her life was flowing away, ebbing out of her, and then his life flowed in. The same power of Christ is still available today. The power of Christ still flows from the cross of Christ. The Apostle Paul referred Jesus as a life-giving spirit. Jesus gives life to those who truly look to him in faith. For those who reach to him in faith, reach out to him in faith, you can go ahead and ask him to give you his life even now. I hope every one of you have this life already. Jesus didn't just heal this woman physically though. She was freed from her suffering in her body. But Jesus wanted to touch her soul as well. You can go ahead and ask him to give you his life even now. My mum was a teacher in an Anglican school in Hong Kong. I once asked her, do you have the assurance of faith? Do you think you would go to heaven one day? Do you know what, how did she answer me? Of course, I've offered my daughter for God's service, you know. And I asked her, I said, did you put something in the bag, Mum? She said, I've offered my daughter already. She has all sorts of guilt. Okay? Of course, my parents migrate to America, San Francisco, because my brother works there. I told her, come on, go to church. She said, it's very expensive, you know. You know how calculating Chinese are with money. Because one American dollars is 8 Hong Kong dollars. She said, the bus trip, $10, $80. I prayed. And God planted up. I mean, God convicted a Chinese church to plant a church near where she does. No more excuse. Okay? And both my parents were saved. This is very important that people know that they have eternal life. What is eternal life? Is it when you die, you go to heaven? Come on, answer me. What's that? Naomi, you have the answer. What's eternal life? Is it in the future? Now, most Chinese will say that, well, okay, I'll believe when I die. Eternal life is not only quantity, it's quality. Quality. Let me look for a handsome man. Come up, this man, come up here. Come up here. What's his name? You are... Yeah, you're both handsome. Anyone would like to come up? Come up, man. Come on. I'm 68, don't worry. Come up here. Give me your hand. This one. Okay. What is eternal life? It's Jesus holding your hand all the while. This is eternal life. He will guide you. He's beside you. This is eternal life. You understand what I'm saying? Quality of life. Thank you. Sorry, I have to touch your hands. 廣東話叫抽水. Anybody understand what I'm saying? Okay? You are very blessed to have touched my hands, you know? Okay, now, that's very important. Jesus didn't just heal this woman. Jesus wanted to touch her soul also. The woman has snuck up behind Jesus in an anomalous fashion. As his power flowed into her body, Jesus knew something was going on. He didn't want to just be a mystical force who can touch and heal. He wanted to be a personal God who was real, loving, and personal. Well, I hope you all know that. God is personal. He can tell Dick Tom from Harry. He can tell one Chinese from another Chinese. It's just like one Aussie friend told me. He said, oh, all Chinese are the same. They're ching chong, you know, all this. I said, all Aussies are the same to me, you know. I mean, God knows each and every one of us. Look at Psalm 139. What does it say? When you were an embryo, God knitted you together. He knows you so well. You believe it or not? I was quite tired when I fly from Hong Kong to here. And the air hostess told me to go to the back. I hated it. I don't want to sit in the back. I want to go right off the plane when the plane landed, right? But then when I sit at the back, do you know what? I have two empty seats next to me and I could lie down and sleep. Can you believe it? God is miraculous, isn't it? Now, he's real personal. He's not satisfied until we come face to face with him. He stopped in the crowd having realized that power had gone out from him. Jesus turned his disciples and said, who touched me? One of those most striking elements in the passage is that Jesus had the rich and powerful Jairus wait while he not only healed the woman, but then went on to teach her about the gospel, apparently for hours. In fact, Jesus spent so much time in teaching her that while he was doing so, Jairus' daughter died. I'm sure that Jairus must have been very anxious. Come on! When are you going? You know? But he's like a Westerner. He tried to be patient and be polite. Most Chinese would have said, come on, hurry up, you know? Can't wait. Am I correct? Why did Jesus tarry? Why did he let Jairus' daughter die? Didn't he know she was at death's door? There are these three reasons. Now, come on, you better make sure you have these 3 points. Jesus tarried in order to highlight the importance of his teaching. He didn't want that lady just being healed and went away. Now, if that lady is Chinese, she would have cut up a piece of her garment and put it up at Chinatown. and said that whoever touches it will be healed and get $100. Believe me or not. Believe me or not, okay? But Jesus wanted to highlight, this was a matter of life and death, and he chose to teach the gospel to the crowd rather than saving the little girl's life. Those who believed the gospel were obviously, how do you say this word? Right? But those who were rejected, they viewed Jesus with disdain. You even see it in the words. When the news arrives that Jesus' delay cost the little girl her life, Jairus' servant tells him, why bother the teacher any longer? Why bother? You can read the disdain in the words, and I almost feel that sarcasm, very sarcastic in the use of the word teacher. It is exactly this teaching that cost the girl her life. This kind of attitude towards Jesus was nothing new in the Gospel of Mark. It had been going on since the start of Jesus' ministry. Mark presents Jesus as trying to teach, but being interrupted by those who want to be healed. Look at all these examples. Jesus prays in a solitary place in Mark 1. Okay? Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. But what happened before that? The day before, Jesus had a very busy day till evening. Can you remember? He didn't baptize. John baptized more. Jesus was healing a lot of people, drove out demons, and he also healed Peter's mother-in-law, right? Mother-in-law are very important in the Chinese culture. Make sure you please them. And he got up early in the morning. No excuse. Is that right? Everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the villages. Look at the disciples. They find him. What did they say? Everyone is looking for you. As if, what are they saying? Huh? What are you doing? Praying, wasting all your time, isn't it? Ivan, have you finished? I'm sorry. Perhaps you better let them go. I'm not even half of my sermon. Okay. Everyone is looking for you. Why do you have the time to pray? Now, most of the time, the disciples were dumb. Do you know that? Just now they were saying, who touched you? Who touched you? Everybody is pressing against you. They are always funny, the disciples. Do you feel that? When they are so close to Jesus. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Can we all read it together? Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. What are miracles for? What are miracles for? Let us read. Jesus came primarily as a teacher, not a healer. Yet because of his constant compassion, he healed every sick person that crossed his path. He never turned his back on a single need, and yet he never let his healing crowd out his teaching. You know what? I told some of my young people, I'm going to preach like rapping. You know, like rap. I'm sorry, I didn't want me to go and speak to his congregation, but I haven't gone through half of it. That is why on this occasion, I'll hurry up a lot. I'll rush. He gave the priority to his teaching, even if it meant healing Jairus' daughter would have to wait. He cares. John 20. Jesus performed many other signs, miracles, in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Is that correct? Those of you who have done Christianity Explained, if you've gone through Christianity Explained, it says that Jesus calmed the storm, Jesus raised the dead, Jesus healed the paralytic, you would have asked yourself, who is this person? It's a sign pointing that he's a Messiah. The disciples thought it was a ridiculous question. Dumb. The crowd was so big and everyone was crowding around Jesus. They were thinking, who hasn't touched you? Jesus asked the question again. Though, who touched me? Who touched me? It wasn't just the tug of a hand Jesus had felt. It was the tug of a heart. It was the tug of faith that he had sensed. He knew someone had reached out to him in faith. Jesus scanned the crowd looking for who it was. He wasn't about to let this woman just get lost in the crowd. He cares. He cares. I always go to my cousin's house when I come back for holiday. I rang up a lady, one of my ex-parishioners. Her husband is in prison in Hong Kong. Okay? I've asked her to meet with me next Sunday. I wanted to know what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Okay? My cousin was a bit annoyed. He said, you come back for a holiday. What are you doing? You are out every day, you know? And obviously, she loves me and wanted me to have a good rest as an old lady, you know? She doesn't know that I'm not an old lady. But it's very important that we care for people. I want to ask her, what's wrong with her husband? What happened? Okay? Jesus can. She doesn't want this lady to get lost. As pastors, as Christians, we have to have a love for people. There's a Chinese book that says that if you care, you will have sheep. Okay? Very important, isn't it? You have to love people. Don't treat people as mechanical thing. You care for them. They look up to you first. Okay? For those who work. You care for those who work with you. You earn the right to speak the gospel. If you don't care for people, and they say, oh, do you want to come to my church? They will say, no. Because you never care for them. You only care for them when there's an evangelistic meeting. Am I correct? You have to care for them. Invite them to your place for supper, for dinner. Okay? Now, this woman came up to Jesus from behind. Jesus wanted her to come face to face with him, though. He wasn't satisfied just to be this lady's healer. He didn't want her to remain nameless and faceless. He wanted this woman to know that he knew her. He wanted to become her God, her King, her Savior, her Lover, her Heavenly Father. He didn't want her to remain nameless and faceless. He wanted this woman to know that he knew her. He wanted to become her God, her King, her Savior, her Lover, her Heavenly Father. This story lets us know that God always wants to make himself personal to us. Jesus wanted a real relationship with this woman. She finally fell at his feet, grateful for his touch and fearful of his rejection. Jesus said, daughter, your faith has healed you. This woman had not heard tender words from a man in more than 12 years. She had the words unclean written on her heart. Just like that, though, Jesus wrote a new name on her heart. Not content to just touch her physical body, he spoke love and acceptance into her heart. Now, I started working as a catechist in 1979. How many years ago was that? Huh? I know. 40 years, Naomi? I've learned a lot. I wish I can start over again. I really, really say that. I'm very judgmental. You can sense from what I'm saying. Okay? I wish I loved people more. I wish I accept them more. It's very important to accept people, even though they may not be your cup of tea, you know. You understand what I'm saying? Very important. Love them. Love them. Of course, they come to church to be helped. Okay, love them. Love them like mad. You can only love them when you have the unconditional love from God. Don't love them with your love. You run out of love and you love people with your love. Read John chapter 2. Jesus knows what is in people's heart. He does not trust himself to them, but he died for them. Am I correct? Okay, very quickly. Jesus, the second thing. Now, the first thing is that Jesus wants them to listen to their teaching. Jesus made Jairus wait in order to highlight the significance of the anonymous woman whom he had healed. That poor woman had been sick for 12 years, the same amount of time Jairus' daughter had been alive. Interesting, isn't it? She was unnamed, destitute, unclean, forgotten, and an outcast. Meanwhile, Jairus was known, rich, a religious leader, and esteemed in the city. Yet Jesus was not concerned with Jairus' social standing, and he did not miss the unnamed woman for lacking it. He was no respecter of persons, and he was unimpressed by social status. Instead, he made Jairus wait while he taught the woman and the crowd. I tell you, churches are for middle class. Do you know that? Middle class people can go to church. Because those poor people cannot afford to go to church, they have to work on Sunday. Things have changed a lot. Praise the Lord. I think there are more churches among the grassroots people. This explains why Jairus' staff was so incredulous with Jesus. Didn't he know who Jairus was? Well, yes, but he wasn't impressed. He was more impressed with the faith of the woman who had navigated the crowd and opened herself up to public shame just to touch the hem of his garment. Third reason, Jesus allowed Jairus' daughter to die so he could be glorified by raising her from death. In some sense, this parallels Jesus' response when he heard that Nazareth was sick. Remember? When did he go to Nazareth? Huh? He went on the fourth day. Because the Jewish faith would have believed that the fourth day the soul has left. Mary and mother reprimanded Jesus. Why did you come so late? You remember? Is that right? If you had been early, there will be hope. But to Jesus, it's nothing. Isn't it? Our lives are created by him. Okay? Why? So that everyone will see the power of God in Jesus' life. The power of God in Jesus' life. I want to read you a passage in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, it started with the blessings from God when you are in Christ. And one of the blessings, what is one of the blessings? Paul says, I pray that your eyes, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order to know that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The hope, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. How big is that power? The power is the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand on the heavenly realms. Well, to make it simple, the blessings we have is that we can have this power available in us. And how big is this power? Any person knows the how do they call power? Let's say a certain power, I don't know. Okay? But the power that we can inherit is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That's why when drug addicts became Christian, they have such a release from the bond of the Satan, and they can do great things for God. Okay, I'm only 1.5 meter. A short, fat old lady. Okay, but I trust God can use me. Okay? Never undervalue yourself if you are a Christian. Okay? So that everyone will see the power of God in Jesus' life. If Jesus only died and did not resurrect, Paul says that all we believe is in vain. But he was raised from death. So this power is available for us. Jesus wanted to raise the girl from the dead to show his power, to demonstrate himself as the author of life, and also to highlight his role as greater than Elijah, who also resurrected a dead child in a very, very similar situation. Jesus calmly walked there. He operated on his own time, and unlike the desperation of Elijah, Jesus would simply grab the child's hand and whisper to her. How dramatic that scene must have been. And it only happened because Jesus determined to wait and teach rather than to run and race. Why did Jesus tarry? Why did he let Jairus' daughter die? Didn't he know she was at death's bed? Three reasons. Jesus tarried in order to highlight the importance of his teaching. Well, you better remember all this. Jesus made Jairus wait in order to highlight the significance of the anonymous woman whom he had healed, an unclean woman. He was more impressed with the faith of the woman who had navigated the crowd and opened herself up to public shame just to touch the hem of his garment. Jesus allowed Jairus' daughter to die so he could be glorified by raising her from the dead. Finished. Aren't you glad? Now, how is that relevant to your life? Oh, I'm sure it must be relevant. I don't think anybody was sleeping. If you were sleeping, I'll call out your names. The second row, the fourth person, that's what I do. Only when I was teaching the boys, not when you have a congregation. They will never come, I tell you. Okay? Do you have faith? Is your faith only up here cognitively? Is your faith only up here? I had a couple, a newly married couple. Okay, they have a big argument. Well, quite an argument. So I went there. And the husband is called David. Young couple, Chinese couple. And David said, because I've used the story. I said, well, I know that David, when he goes to heaven, he will get a 别墅. He will get, what do you say, a 别墅? A house in heaven because he has donated a lot. He has done great things for God. And as for Alice, I think he will only get a one-bedroom apartment, you know, because she hasn't done much. And when they quarrel, David said, look, Rattenbach said, I'm good, you know, I'm spiritual, so I get a big house in heaven. And you haven't done much for God. I was joking, you know. And he told his wife, David, he said, you know, Rattenbach knows how much each person have donated. Well, I never ask people for money. Seldom. But they give, we have a treasurer, two treasurer, and they give money to the treasurer. We don't even have bags. But mine is not a very big congregation, okay? Do you think I have to check how much you give? I look at the way you treat people. I look what you, I can see what you bring for supper sometimes, you know? You understand what I'm saying? I don't have to ask how much you give. I don't have to ask the treasurer, okay? From what you do, what does James say? Faith is dead if you don't have works. Am I correct, Naomi? Now don't go and say, tell the archbishop that someone go and tell you that you are saved by works. No way. If you say you have faith, you must work it up. It's not here. Okay? The second thing I want to talk about is that how important is faith? It's very important. Okay? How much Jairus believed? He believed that Jesus would raise his daughter from death. Okay? So, not only believe, but trust that God has the best for you. Go back to Romans chapter 8. All things work together for those who love him. Even though I might face death, my mother came to live with me for half a year because my father died in America and she was too lonely. And she died of cancer. I asked God, why? I've never lived with my mother since my early 20s. And she died. She's a Christian. I never blame God because I know that God works things in his own way. Okay? Now, the third thing which is very important is that as we go by faith, right? As we go by faith, we have to glorify God in our life. Not everybody has to be a preacher. Not everybody has to go to more college. But in your work, whatever you do, you glorify God. Okay? So as we have faith, we work it out. And whatever we do, we glorify God in whatever we do. Our work is a worship to God. Okay? That's what Romans 12 tells us. I don't want so many people to become ministers. Who is going to put money in the bank if everybody becomes ministers? When I went to Moore College, my mother was very angry. She told me, Irene, you'll be as poor as a church mouse. That's the first thing. Why is church mouse poor? I don't understand. There's so many things to eat in the church. Second thing is that she said that you should never come back to me for money, Irene. You know? And she never tell people. She never told people what I do anymore. She told other people, I have a daughter who studied law in Hong Kong University. That's all she said. Okay, but I've never been poor. I'm quite rich in many ways. Okay? So praise the Lord. Okay? I'm now working in China. I'm doing house churches. And God has been blessing my work. We do a lot of work among university students, which is very important. So pray for me. And pray for me. I'm going to ask Iceland if you agree that we have prayer points. We don't need money. We don't need money. Okay? Very important that you pray for us. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you have been good to us. You have always been good to us. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for your word. May your word continue to transform our life. May the stories in the Bible increases our faith. May our faith be working out in real actions. May we learn to love those around us. May we bring the gospel to all those people who are in agony and in sin. And help us that we will glorify you and preach the gospel through our whole lives. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one prayer. I read that